lead us in worship.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Where God calls two or three together, he's always in the midst. And we always know he's wherever we're singing. I'm originally from Sanford. We're from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I just hope you enjoy what we got for you today. I'm a little homesick for a place in the sky where I will never have to say goodbye. Ever with Jesus, that's where I'll be. Sitting and waiting by the crystal sea. I'm a little homesick like never before. I'm ready to stand on that golden shore. I hear angels singing, very soon I'll be gone. I'm a little homesick for my brand new home. I've got family and loved ones waiting for me, and I can't wait till their face I see. But when I see my Savior and his nail-scarred hands, I'll fall on my face, praising his name, promised land. I'm a little homesick, like never before. I'm ready to stand on that golden shore. I hear angels singing, very soon I'll be gone. I'm a little homesick for my brand new home. I'm a little homesick for my brand new home. This next song is currently playing on nationwide radio. It should be playing in Sanford on WSD something, 107.5, I think it is. So I hope you enjoy it. It's called Thank God for the Blessings. Just look around and see all the good things God has given me in my life. If I started today thinking for the blessings I just get started if I pray day and night. I want to thank God for the blessing given me. Everyone he gives, I'm so unworthy. From the food I get to eat, to the shoes on my feet, I want to thank God for the blessing given me. When I wake up, the sun's still shining bright. I have a nice place to lay my head at night. I got family and friends I love so dear. When I face trials of this life, no need to fear. Wanna thank God for the blessing given me. For everyone he gives, I'm so unworthy. From the food I get to eat, to the shoes on my feet, I want to thank God for the blessing given me. I want to thank God for the blessing given me. Everyone he gives, I'm so worthy. From the food I get to eat, to the shoes on my feet, I want to thank God for the blessing given me. I want to thank God for the blessing given me. This next song, we go through trials and tribulations. Sometimes we don't understand why, but we always know that he's right beside us. He tells us, I'm always with you until the end of time. We hope you like this next song. It's called When I Don't Understand.
I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring, but I know God can handle anything. I'll just keep on trusting, believing his precious word. I'll hold on while he leads me here on earth. When I don't understand, I must remember that he has a plan, and he's working all things for my good. When my world falls apart, I can't see the light for all the dark. I'll keep believing. When I don't understand, the doctor says there's nothing I can do. The banker says your bills are all past due. My life, my home has all fallen apart. All I do is sit and cry from a broken heart when I don't understand. I must remember that He has a plan, and He's working all things for my good. When my world falls apart, I can see the light for all the dark. I'll keep believing when I don't understand. When I walk through the valley or on a mountaintop, Lord, make my faith grow stronger. Don't let it ever stop. When I don't understand, I must remember that He has a plan, and He's working all things for my good. When my world falls apart, I can't see the light for all the dark. I'll keep believing when I don't understand. I'll keep believing when I don't understand.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Y'all give Joe and Miss Sandy another hand. They had friends here with them today that come. They went to school, or Joe went to school with, and glad to have you here today also. If you will, take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we was preaching through the Gospel of John, and if you remember, we was preaching about the Good Shepherd in John 10, verses 1 through 21, 2 weeks ago. I really appreciate Pastor James introducing everyone, and Amy and Pastor Terry for being here last week to fill in while we was with the Cowboy Church Network. Just a blessing to know that God's words preached and worship carried on. That was just a blessing. As we come to this passage this morning, I know we've already had a lot in the service, but I want to just think about this. I was actually going to preach from Jude. I preached from Jude the other night. And I got to thinking about it the last few weeks. It's been a lot of services. And I said the other night at Cowboy Church, you know, through the last 3 years, I've gave the invitation, seen a lot of people raise their hand, not knowing it would just be a little bit before I'd preach at their funeral. You know, we come to these uncertainties in life, and we come to a time in life where it seems like we can't know anything for sure. You can be listening or watching for some news, and it changes from day to day. You think you understand the truth, and then it changes. But I want you to know that the Word of God and the truth of God never change. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to jump in here at verse 22. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, our great Shepherd. We know that You are our Shepherd, that You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. You alone restoreth our soul. You guide us in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And even though we should walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for You are with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. Lord, You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil, our cup overflows. This morning we gather and worship our Most High God, knowing surely goodness and loving kindness will follow us all the days of our life. And that, Lord, we can have the assurance this morning that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says, "My sheep know I am the good shepherd." That is the passage here Jesus has been preaching about the difference between a false shepherd, between thieves, robbers. He's been saying that he is the good shepherd. We preached through that the other week. And now, as we come to verse 22, Jesus is going to use the metaphor that he was teaching 2 months before. As we come to this text this morning, Jesus says, my sheep, Jesus says here that my sheep believe I am the good shepherd. It says in verse 22, at this time the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was the winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple of the portico or the porch of Solomon. So it's in the winter times, actually right around December the 25th. It's what we know now in modern terms is Hanukkah. The feast of dedication was a fourth feast added into the Jewish worship calendar. It come about because in 164 B.C., Judas Maccabeus, he defeated Antipas Epiphanes. Epiphanes was a ruler or king of Syria who come in and captured Jerusalem. And if you remember your history, he sacrificed pigs on the altar of God, and he helped the priests down and poured pigs' blood in their throats. He desecrated everything of God's temple there. And obviously, that upset God's people. Amen? And then there was an uprising, and in that uprising, Judas, he defeated Epiphanes and reestablished worship in the temple according to the Old Testament. Cleansed the temple so they could have worship there. And after that, there was an 8-day feast every year. In our calendar year, month would be December, and the day would be around the 25th. It was 8 days, be 8 candles in the windows. And this is about 2 months after the Feast of the Booths that Jesus has taught that he is the good shepherd, that he is the gate. He is the only one that leads to eternal life. And as he is walking, it's wintertime, it's the rainy season, he's in this porch of Solomon. It surrounds the outside of the temple. He's walking in that, and it says in verse 34, the Jews then gathered around him. We don't see this word here much. You see it in the New Testament here, and you see it where Paul gets stoned and the disciples gather around him, and they're looking at Paul and they're going, is he dead? And Paul gets up, if you remember the story, and goes back in to preach. Goes back into the town to preach after being stoned for being preached. Also, you see it in the Old Testament where the armies surround. So the idea here is Jesus is walking, and in John's gospel, when it says Jews, it's talking about not the Jews that love God. It's talking about the Jews that love themselves, and they are opposing Jesus because Jesus tells them he's the true way of worship. So they surround Jesus, and it looks like a pretty innocent question here. As they surround him, they were saying to him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? In other words, Lord, I'd like to believe in you, but I need a little more knowledge. I've got my MacArthur Study Bible. I got my Life Application Bible. I've been Googling things. I got a lot of information, but how long, Lord, before you going to let me know that you're truly God? And the next phrase there, they say, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, plainly tell us. Did you know that all the head knowledge in the world won't get you saved? You know, I know you've heard this over and over. It's 18 inches between knowledge and salvation. Amen? It's called your heart. And here, that's what they asked him. How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Now, Jesus has already been saying some things that lead them to understand he's the Messiah. He's the light of the world. He's the water that quenches thirst. He's the water that springs forth in life. He is the gate. He is the good shepherd. Throughout the Old Testament, the metaphor for shepherd and sheep is about God and his people. We don't have time to go there this morning, but in Ezekiel 34, God prophesies, or has Ezekiel prophesies, that my sheep have gone astray. Why? These religious leaders, these prophets, these under-shepherds that I have sent to shepherd them are either looking after their own interest or they've followed after other gods. Either way, my sheep are scattered. And I love this in Ezekiel. God says, but I myself will go and search for them. That's what Jesus did. When the Bible says God sent his only begotten son, he sent Jesus searching for the lost and scattered sheep of his flock. At the end of Jacob's life, he's blessing Joseph and he says, I'm blessing you in the name of he who has shepherded me all my life. He's talking about God being his shepherd. God says here in Ezekiel at the end of Ezekiel 34 that they shall be one sheep with one shepherd. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. And that's the metaphor that's here. So Jesus says to them, I told you. How'd he tell you? Well, I heard it in a sermon. I read it in the Bible. I've known it all my life. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to God. There's no one that comes unto the Father except for the Son. There's no one who comes to the Son except for whom the Father draws. That's what Jesus has been telling them since chapter 5. Over and over. It's the relationship between the Father and between the Son. And how the Father planned it. The Son carried out the work and the Holy Spirit's empowering it. And how it's going to bring about their salvation. How he's going to be their spiritual Messiah. But they're looking for a political Messiah. That's why I believe John included this about the Feast of the Dedication. Are you going to set things right? Are you going to beat up all our enemies? Are you going to defeat the other political party? Are you going to put us in a trial? Is it our turn to get our way? That's what they asked in Jesus. And Jesus says to them, he says here in this famous verse, he says, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify about me. Jesus says that we can know that his sheep are saved, safe, and secure in the hands of the Good Shepherd. Now say this, saved, safe, and secure. What did the preacher talk about today? And secure. John MacArthur says that this is one of the greatest texts in the Bible that speaks of, which 1 Peter does also, but this is one of the greatest texts in the Bible that speaks about the security of our salvation or eternal security. Or you can say, once saved, always saved. Here Jesus is saying to them that I have spoken to you, I've told you these things, you don't believe my words or my works. And then we see here that all sheep need a shepherd. Jesus is drawing them back into this metaphor about the shepherd. He says, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. Often when we read this in this text, we think, well, I can't believe that they saw all this stuff that Jesus was doing. They heard Jesus' teaching, and guess what? They didn't believe. That's what's wrong. But look at this closely, what Jesus says. Jesus says here in verse 26, but you do not believe, and here's the reason. You're not my sheep. Let me say that again. The reason they don't believe is because they're not a sheep of Jesus. Jesus is not their shepherd. In verses 1 through 21, Jesus has got done saying that my sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and he says, and I go out in front of them. You know, in America here, we think about herding sheep as driving them or herding them or pushing them. But in the ancient Middle East, the sheep followed the shepherd as he chanted a song. They knew his voice. You could put them all up with other people's sheep at night in town, and have them in the sheep pen, and when the shepherd come in the morning, he would start his chant and be calling them by name, and them sheep would look up one by one, and they'd come and follow him out. Jesus says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. Now, this should be an encouragement to you. Are you, if you're saved this morning, raise your hand. Now say, thank you, Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't know you're saved. That's the point Jesus is making here. When you get saved, it is a gift of God. Now, am I responsible to repent and ask Jesus to forgive me? Yes. Can I repent and ask Jesus to forgive me without God being at work in my life in the Holy Spirit? No. Can you explain that, preacher? No. But when we get to heaven, I'll meet y'all at the Starbucks and we'll go over it with Jesus. Amen? But here's the point. Jesus has just healed a blind man that was blind from birth, and they wanted to know about Jesus' deity, his method, and his power. They said, was he born blind, or is this just something Jesus did? Guess what? That blind man couldn't make himself see. Guess what? You can't save yourself. Man, 38 years, couldn't walk, and couldn't even get a friend to help put him in the pool to heal him. Jesus picked him up and healed him, and he got up and walked away. You know what? That man couldn't heal himself. Jesus healed him. You couldn't save yourself. And without the power and the sovereignty of God, you'd never even be looking for God. Romans 3, 10 through 12 says there's none righteous, no, not even one. There's none who does right. None understand. There are none who seek after God. Do you know why you went looking God? Because God was calling you to come. That's the grace of God, the power of God. If you're saved, you ought to get up every morning and thank God you ain't going the way you used to go. Do you know why I'm saved today? Because in 1991, I thought I was saved. I was going to try to straighten my life out, come up with a good plan. I like writing things down, checking them off, and everything works out, right? It worked real good for about 6 months, and then it just train wrecked again. But in that time, I was going to Uncle Rudy's church. Uncle Rudy gave me this little book that you witness to people, and it was Bible verses that everybody ought to memorize. So I memorized them Bible verses. Do you know that over and over in my life, no matter how bad I messed up, I remembered them Bible verses? Was I saved? Nope. How you know? Because I was living like the devil. It's obvious. Did I think I was saved? Yep. You know how I got saved? Sitting in a motel room, reading a Gideon's Bible, and reading through the book of John. And when I got to this verse, it says, it's not the reason you don't believe, because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. I said, Lord, here's the problem. Dummy's not saved. And I had all the religious training I needed, all those words, rededication, won't do it no more, I'll do better. I knew all that. It took me from about 5 that morning to 11 o'clock when I realized that I needed Jesus. And on I-70, outside of Denver, Colorado, I said, Lord, I'm not going to use any of these religious phrases. I just need you to save me and take control of my life. And right then, that moment that you can't describe any other way, the Holy Spirit let me realize that I belong to God, that I had just become His sheep, that I could just hear His voice. How many of you, a different place, different time, has that happened to? That is the assurance that you're saved, because you've realized that Jesus is calling you to come into the fold. You can't get in any other way except for through the door. Jesus is talking about, I'm the door to the sheep. He's talking about a hole in the wall and not a gate from Tractor Supply. He's talking about, He's the shepherd that lays across the door. He's the doorkeeper. He is the gate. You can't go out, you can't come in without crossing over Jesus. He lets you in, and He protects you so nothing else comes in to get you, but He also what? Leads you out into green pastures. What's green pastures, preacher? An abundant life. We talk about grace saving us. What about living in grace? Grace not only saves us, it gives us a life to live to the fullest of every moment. I don't care how bad your situations are. With Christ, you've got an abundant life, because He's going to see you through those trials and those tribulations. So I got to hurry up. So I want to walk through this. I want to give you six realities of your salvation, that you know for sure that you're saved, you're going to stay saved, and you're going to end up in heaven with Jesus. Aren't they good promises? First is two experiences. I want you to look at these two experiences. They tell us here that we hear Jesus' voice and Jesus knows us intimately. He says, my sheep hear my voice. You hear the word of God and you know the word of God is true. A good friend of mine here a while back, I knew his grandma good. He come to me, it's been probably a year ago. I ended up, guess what? He accepted Jesus and got baptized. He says, I got a question. My grandma told me to go see you. I said, what is it? He says, the Bible is old and written long ago. He says, how do I know it's true? I said, have you got a Bible? He said, yep. I said, go home and read it. I said, if it's one that's hard to read, get one that you can read and understand. You read the Bible, you find one thing in there that God says it's not true, and you come back and show it to me. He ended up accepting Christ and getting baptized. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. It don't mean, I know you want me to, Lord, but, right? How many of y'all done that? I'm the world's worst for that. Mr. Robert Hatley told me one time, said, son, anytime you say but, everything after that's a lie. I'll never forget him telling me that. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We might not understand where God's leading. We might not understand how God's going to accomplish it. Here's what faith is. Here's what my definition of belief is. I'm going to do what God says, expecting in the end, I'll prove him right. If the whole world tells you you're going the wrong way and you're following God, you just say this, wait and see. It might be 10 years from now. Might be in eternity. But I guarantee you, God is right, and I'm going to keep following. I hear his voice. Well, wherever Jesus is leading, you go. You don't change with the winds of culture. You continue to follow. And he says, I know my sheep. He says, I know them. That's the greatest thing we can know. We can understand. Paul says in Galatians, it's not that you've come to know God. It's that you've come to be known by God. When Christ saves you, he brings you home with him. He says, Father, look what I got. A trophy of my grace right here. Have you ever, when you was kids and you had real good friends, when you met new friends, you didn't know them that good. When you go to middle school or high school, so when you go over, you knock on the door and you're real polite and you say, yes, Miss Baker, and you're real nice and you smile to them. Y'all remember how kids done that? But after you get to know them, what do? You just run through the house and about tear the storm door down, right? Because you just, it becomes, their home is our home, right? That's the way it is when we know Jesus intimately. We go in and out of heaven because we're following Jesus. What are you doing in my house? I'm with him. He brought me home. When you know that you're known by God instead of just knowing some things about God, come what may, you know in the end, we all win. So the two experiences is that we hear his voice, we follow him, he knows us, and Galatians there tells us that we are known by God, and then also I want you to see two actions. Here's two actions. So if you're saved, it's two things you're going to do. You're going to start understanding and hearing the Bible. And people ask me all the time, I read it and I don't understand it. What should I do? Pray and keep reading it. You know, sometimes I do a lot of studying for sermons, and we need to do a lot of studying. But sometimes instead of studying the Bible, we just need to read the Bible till we hear from God. And we don't need to get caught up in a routine. Some mornings we might need to pray and read the Bible. Some mornings I read the Bible first and just pray the Scripture. Like praying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some days we just need to read the Bible and we'll hear from God. And then we can take these two actions that assure us that we're not only saved, but that we are also safe. The actions are we follow Jesus. I had somebody call me the other day, or they text me actually. Preacher, I need a verse. And I knew what that meant, so I text back, what is wrong? Road rage, right? I was going to send him something about patience, but I decided to send him something from James. It's not the reason we quarrel, it's because we won't and do not have, right? You wanted to get in front, didn't you? Bible verses. We follow Jesus. Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Have you ever been doing something and you just know it's not right? And the Lord stops you? That means you're safe in the hands of the good shepherd. He's stopping you from straying. David says it this way. Think about David. David is the under-shepherd of God. He is the shepherd of God's people. He's king of everything. He brings peace to the whole area. And yet, in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. How can I shepherd? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He knows me personally. He protects me. He goes on to say that his rod and staff comfort me. When he's following Christ, if he gets too close to the edge, he hooks him and pulls him back. If he runs out there a long ways, he whacks him with the other end, right? I love that picture of Jesus holding the little sheep. You know, a lot of y'all think, oh, that's so tender. He was lost and God is taking him. Jesus is taking him back to heaven. But you know, some sheep is like I was. Jesus was holding me because he had to keep hitting me in the shin because I wouldn't listen, right? I couldn't walk. He had to tote me for a while. And that's the way this is. The two actions is we follow Jesus, and then look what else. He says, I give them eternal life. This is eternal life. This took me a hard, long time to learn. I used to think, if you ask Jesus to forgive you, right, no brainer. Here's my choices. Burn in hell, walk on gold. Walk on gold, burn in hell. I used to think when I was little, why wouldn't anybody want to say that Jesus is God and why wouldn't anybody want to ask him to forgive? But when I got saved, I kept reading in John, and when I got to John chapter 17, verse 3, here's what it says. Verse 2, I give them eternal life. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you sent. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to have an abundant life. When you know you're known by God and you know you can bring any problems, good, bad, any mistakes you've done before the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit and ask for help, you know then you've got eternal life. Romans chapter 8 says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. Do you know when you get in a bind and you pray and you ask Jesus to help you, he just looks over at God and he says, hey, Miss Joy needs some help. What we're going to do, Father? And God dispatches all his resources to help you right then. That's eternal life. You know that you're saved. And you know you're safe. And how do you know you're secure? Because of two promises. There's two promises that we find here. And these promises are that we will never perish and no one can snatch us out of his hand. He says, I give him eternal life, verse 28. And then he says, and they never perish. Now, eternal life by definition means it lasts forever, right? And he says that you never perish. John 3:16. That what? They may live and not perish. That they may have everlasting life. First of all, here's Jesus' promise. You will not perish. If you've trusted Jesus and repented of your sin and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner undone. I know that I've not lived life your way. I believe Jesus come to this earth, lived the life I should have lived, died the death I deserve, was buried for my sins, and 3 days later was raised for my justification. Raised so I know I could have a new life. I don't have to keep living this old way. I can have eternal life. If you pray that, guess what? And you mean it, you're saved. And you have eternal life, and you will not perish. When it comes to that in life, one of my favorite songs is In Christ Alone. Keith Getty says that, no scheme of hell, no power of man can snatch us out of his hand. There's nothing that can take you away from the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. He says nothing can snatch you out of my hand. Did you know that if you've struggled with a bad habit, hurt, or hang-up, and you just can't shake it, that when you get saved, you might still have struggles, but it can never snatch you out of the hand of God. Why am I sober? Jesus Christ. Why don't I drink no more? Because it causes me all kinds of trouble. And the Bible tells me not to be controlled by anything but the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know I stay sober? Because he's a good guy. He got a good heart. His mama loved him. No, because of Jesus. He says, nothing can snatch you out of my hand. No wolf, the devil. No thieves and robbers. As these preachers that tell you, just live your best life now and it'll all be good. Pray it, claim it, and you'll get it. If you don't repent, you ain't getting nothing. That's the truth. Jesus says, if you repent and believe in me, you'll hear me, I'll know you, you'll follow me. Here's the promise. You'll never perish. Will I die on this earth? I will if Jesus don't come back. Guess what? My last breath here, your last breath here is your first breath of pure fresh air in heaven. Eternity with God. We can't even fathom what that means because God is infinite. Our finite minds will learn something new every day about the grace and the mercy of God. So nothing can snatch us out of his hand. He goes on to say, my Father who's given them to me is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I am the Father's one. This word one here doesn't mean one person. It means one substance or one essence. Jesus and the Father are two persons, one essence. Same God. Here's the picture Jesus is painting. When you're saved, you're safe from the wiles of the world, but you're also secure to spend eternity in heaven. And when you go to fall, Jesus reaches down and catches you. And he's got a white knuckle grip. You know what I'm talking about? Where you squeeze so hard that the blood starts leaving your knuckles. And then he says, and my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of his hand. You got the Son holding you and the Father holding the Son and you. That's the greatest promise that we'll ever have. I don't care what nobody tells you. There's no other religion, no other promise, no other politician. There's nothing, nowhere, or nobody that can give you a promise like that. That you can spend eternity with God. So what should we do this morning as we close? You need to believe that what the Bible says is true. That it is the Word of God. It is God speaking to you. You need to listen. You know what listen means in the Old Testament? Say obey. Nobody likes that word these days. Obey means mind, right? Follow. And we follow the Good Shepherd. So how do we do that? In what ways can we do that? Read your Bible. In Jude, it says to build yourself up on the holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Read your Bible, pray. Here's something else. You ought to hear Jesus' voice so much that when we sing songs like In Christ Alone, you ought to say, that's Scripture. That's Scripture. I know where that's found. That's found in John chapter 10. Other songs that we sing, we ought to know when the music doesn't fit the message. When we're watching TV shows and it's this feel-good religion stuff, we ought to be able to say, wait a minute, that doesn't line up. I've heard my Jesus speak. Guess what? This TV show, this song, this philosophy, none of this can snatch me out of the hand of the Good Shepherd because he's got hold of me. Let us pray. If you're here this morning and you've never known this relationship between a sheep and a shepherd that I've been speaking of, this morning I'm just asking you to simply believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that God sent him to die for your sins, that by dying for your sins they are paid for, no matter what you've done. And you simply need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. I'm asking you to forgive me and take control of my life, that nothing or no one can take me away from you. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, my question is, do you still listen for Jesus to speak so you can follow wherever he leads? Sometimes we just kind of get trapped in a religious rut. We go to church, we pray before meals, we thank God in front of people for the blessings we get, but we never just sit down and say, Lord, I just want to be quiet before you. I just want to hear from you. Lord, I just want to see glimpses of your glory in the land of this living. Kind Father, we thank you that you are a shepherd who not only seeks lost sheep, but once they're saved, you bring us safely into the fold. And Lord, we are assured that we're secure throughout eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To go along with what the pastor said, Jesus doesn't say you have to have the nicest car, the nicest clothes, or the biggest house to come to him. He says, come as you are, and I will change you.
Too broken to come to the Lord. You say you are not worthy to bow down before him, but he's begging you, come as you are. Come as you are. Bring the pieces of your broken heart. Watch God do a miracle and form together just like new. Come as you are, don't cover up the scars. He's the healer and the potter, so just come as you are. Don't wait another minute, he's calling out your name. He's gonna open up his arms and take you in today. Oh, he's begging you, come as you are. Come as you are, bring the pieces of your broken heart. Watch God do a miracle and form together just like new. Come as you are, don't cover up the scars. He's the healer and the potter, so just come as you are. He can mold you and make you just like new. So come now to the Father and see what he can do. Come as you are. Bring the pieces of your broken heart. watch God do a miracle and form together just like you. Come as you are, don't cover up the scars. He's the healer and the potter. So just come as you are. Run, child, run now to the Father. Come as you are. Won't you come?
Thank you once again for having us, and hope you enjoyed what we did. And we are Rhapsody Praise from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And we hope y'all have a blessed day, and your week is blessed also.
Thank you. Y'all give Rhapsody Praise another hand. Thank you, Miss Sherry. Thank you, Joe. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you now and just ask that you would bless us, Lord, and that you would keep us. You'd lift your face up upon us, Lord, and be gracious to us. That, Lord, you'd lift your countenance up on us, Lord, and give us peace. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling, to make us stand in the presence of your glory blameless with great joy. To the only God and Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, be the glory and the majesty, the authority and the dominion before all time, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much. And the offering buckets is in the front and the rear. And